this is the plan moving forward. Today we'll speak a little bit more about finishing up some issues. But Sunday I won't be here because I'll be out of town in the morning. So next week, regular show will be on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. So Monday at 1 o'clock. Let's assume Monday we'll try to do as much as we can about Smicha. Again, whatever we don't complete on Smicha now, we'll try to we'll fill in when we get to Daf Hey, because Daf Hey is where we speak about I guess the modern applications of Smicha. Netilas Rishus Mirabo, Netilas Rishus Miranasi or Miresh Lusa. So when we do that, we need to anyway see how much of that is based on the paradigm of classical Smicha. So whatever, there are a lot of issues that come up there. So whatever we don't do, I want to just, you know, get to the beginning so we could just start going straight. So what I'm going to try to do is Monday let's do Smicha. So that's I'll tell you exactly what we want to do. Just to go through the Shaka Vitaria that we, whatever we didn't discuss yet on Yud Gimel Amud Beis through Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Part of it we've done already, obviously. The Rambam, of course, and you should be familiar with the Rambams in Perek Dalet of the Sanhedrin, some of which we've discussed. I've told you, if you get a chance, just to look very quickly at the Sefer Ashtaros of Rabbi Yehuda Bartzaloni. That's in Simen Mem Gimel, again in the printed version, page 132 to 133. He just has a Ksav Mismach, or Ksav Smicha, Ksav Mismach Smicha, or something like that. Just the main thing to know there is that he has the he seemed to have had a tradition of smicha biyadayim, you know, that, you know, went beyond what our Gemara thinks it was, and a couple of interesting things. If you get a chance, that's already a more exotic makar. What I really want to focus on after the Gemara is the Rambam's view of Chiddush HaSmicha, which we've already talked about. We'll talk a little bit about, hopefully, today as well. So just, you know, to look carefully at the Rambam's formulations in Pirshei Mishnayos here, and, of course, in Bechoros, which we've seen already, and, of course, in Mishnah Torah. You know, but we already know that he was mistapek in Pirshei Mishnayos about how many smuchim you require, whether it's one or three. We know already the time he got to Yad HaChazaka, he had, you know, decided that, you know, you only need one samuch, you know, you need a bezin of three. So there were some changes, and it's just interesting to see the evolution of this. But it's just a very, you know, fascinating thing. Ein hadavar tzarech achreya. What is the Rambam's shita exactly, you know, in terms of some details? So look at the nosei kelim al atar. And say, if you can just take a quick look, I'll do some of it at least, of the Kutras HaSmicha of the Mari Beirav. This is the 16th century controversy, and the response of the Ralbach, his Hasagos, and in the Tshuvas Ralbach, Simen Kuf Mem Zayin. Again, I don't want to get too carried away with it, but at least let's try what we can for Monday, maybe the beginning of Tuesday. Again, the issues are, can you be Mechadish Smicha, which is what the Rambam was contending. What impact would that have in terms of things like Kiddush HaChodesh and giving out Malkus? Is you know, Smicha really a prerequisite for Bias HaMashiach? But you know, even more important than those things, how to interpret the Rambam? What did the Rambam mean in certain things that he said? Hadavar Tzarech Echreya, of course, the famous line in Yad HaChazaka. Does the Rambam require kol or rov? Does he talk about chachmei Eretz Yisrael or the people in Eretz Yisrael? That they have this like mass referendum? You know, was that what he had in mind? Do you need the, you know, everybody to be together in the giving of smicha, and especially the giving of this smicha? Is it that everybody needs to be in Eretz Yisrael, or they really need to be in the same place? And then, you know, so these are some of the issues. That, you know, just what did the Rambam mean? What is the quality of the Chiddush HaSmicha? Is the Smicha of Chiddush HaSmicha any different than the Smicha of Ish Mipi Ish Mimosh Rabbeinu? The Rav is saying, name Reb Chaim, we'll get back to this later on, that you know, maybe it was only good for dine knossos, but not for dine nefashos or other things. It doesn't sound that way at all, I have to say, in the Rambam, but certainly not in Pirush Mishnayos. But that's an interesting issue. Now, is there something that of course gets to the question, you know, that you know, we started talking about in the Aruch HaShulchan. I want to get back to that and my own suggestion, which is that how do you, you know, just, you know, conceptually, how do you substitute for an unbroken tradition? That if there really is part of the din is Ishmi Pishmi Moshe Rabbeinu, so, you know, how do you get that back through you know, through the Chiddush HaSmicha? And if you don't, then in theory, you know, you might have some sort of a smicha, but maybe only, you know, one which is partially effective. These are very, you know, important issues and very conceptually fascinating issues. So I want to talk about some of that on Monday and probably the beginning of Tuesday as well. In addition, there's another issue, and that is what requires smuchim, what kind of dinim requires smuchim, and what does not. And that, of course, is partly, does the, again, the Agrama was of the opinion that you need three smuchim to give smicha, and the Rambam, lahalacha at least, Safik and Pirush Mishnayos, but in Arach HaZaka, thought you need one samuch, but three dayanim. So this is an interesting other issue, and that is what kind of batei dinim do require smicha and what do not. So we should start building a list for that, but that of course is also connected to the beginning of the Masechta, which I'm getting some cars for as well, namely what about, you know, Bezin Shel Mamonis, and what about Geirus, and what about Nedarim, do they require Smuchim or not? Okay, so these are important issues which we'll have to examine. So again, Monday and probably a little bit of Tuesday I want to spend on this. Whatever we don't finish, we'll try to catch up with when we get to Daf Hey. But by Tuesday, hopefully, I really want to start off already with the Mishnah and Daf Beis Amud Aleph. So there are several things to think about. Firstly, just to go through the Mishnah carefully and to note already, again, that there are quite a range of dinim in the Mishnah, and they seem to be reflective of different roles that Beis Din, you know, can play. So we need to just, you know, just be sensitive and aware of that. It's a long Mishnah. What's really going on in this Mishnah? Hodos, Ha'avos, right? Gzelos, Chavolos, several different types of Knossos, Motzi Shemra. Is an interesting sugya later on, but already in the Mishnah, you know, is that mamonos or is it nefashos? How do you define mamonos and nefashos? Different types of knossos, they say, they're implied. And then, of course, all sorts of other things. We've already, in our discussion of the mitzvah of Minui Dayanim, we've already discussed, you know, the role of Bezen Hagadol, let's say, as opposed to, it's also the question of Gimel, in other words, Gimel, Hey, Chav Gimel, Ayin Aleph. We'll talk a little bit about that more today, and especially the role of the Bezin Shel Ayin Aleph, you know, in all sorts of different things, and whether that's one or many halachos, right? Minui Kohen Gadol, Minui Melech, you know, issues about Kohen Gadol and Melech, you know, Kiddush Azara, you know, Minui Bechol Ir Ve'ir Bechol. Some of the issues that we've been discussing. So the Mishnah itself is just a good opening to trying to make certain distinctions and just be aware at least of possible distinctions. So we want to go through that with an eye towards this, and then of course we'll follow through in the Gemara. On the specifics, the famous Rashi on Gzelus v'Chavolos that the Rabbis like to speak about, we should speak about that very quickly. Rashi Dimrasul Gzelos. You can look at the Marsha there and the Chidush Aran and the Rambam Metuchas Gzela, Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Aleph Yud Dalet and Tesvav. And if you get a chance, the Gemara Baba Kama Daf Kuf, I think it's Kuf Chesom at base, where the Gemara speaks about some of these issues. What, you know, why is the Rambam giving these examples, and is there a combination of Shlichos Yad and Kofur B'Pikadon, or are these two different things? So just that'll be just a very brief after we discuss the structure of the Mishnah, we'll just discuss that Rashi quickly. Also, another very famous Rashi that deserves comment, Rashi Dibur Maslam Mi'unin, is a very famous tshuva of the Nota Yehuda, you know, whether Gittin require a Bezdin or just Eidos. Pashtus and most of the Makoros is that you only require Eidos for a get, but the Nota Yehuda, partially based on this Rashi, insisted on, and we look at the Rashash as a discussion of this. Alatar, this Rashi Nota Yehuda issue. The types of dinim we discuss, we'll discuss it more in a minute. And then, of course, just to start with the Shaka Matari, let's first get an overview of the Shaka Matari of the Gemara from Beis Amud Aleph through Gimel Amud Beis, basically to discuss what, you know, whether you need smuchim, and if not, you know, what is the relationship between the factors of the Ilas Delas and especially Shlichus Sayu. For Shlichus Sayu, you have to look at the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Pei Gimel Beis Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, and the Gemara in Pei Dalet in Gittin. In terms of the Gemaras here, so you know, you can look at the Rashi and Tosas Al Atar, Rashi and Sanhedrin Yud Gimel Amud Beis, through Ramaska LeMeidan. If you get a chance, look quickly at the Tosas and Ramban in Yavamos on Mem Vav Mud Beis. That's part of the issue of whether you need Shlichus Sayu and Smuchin for Gerus, which we'll use for other issues as well. The Tosa Rosh here on Gimel Amud Aleph, Divra Maskel Shenemar, also the Adraman Gimel Amud Aleph. Very important in all of this is the Ramban Ala Torah, in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim. Ela Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lefneihem, Lefneihem Velo Lefnei Arkos. There the Ramban, in his Parish Ala Torah, has a discussion of the relationship between Hedyotos and Arkos. And he has a discussion whether you can be Mechalik between them in terms of the Kiblolai, topic that we'll do in the second half of the year, hopefully. So that Ramban Ola Torah is very important. And then the Ramban and the Chidusha Ramban, there aren't that many, but the Chidusha Ramban on Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, very important here. And of course the Chidusha Haran is very important here. So the Chidusha Haran Dibra Maskel Ubedinhu, and also Ela Meata. And the Nesivas, famous Nesivas, the first Nesivas in Choshe Mishpat, Simin Aleph, Sif Katan Aleph. Okay, so I think we'll start with that. That's certainly, you know, enough to get things going. Also look at the Ksos, Simin Dalid, Sif Katan Aleph. And if you get a chance, the Nesivas, Simin Aleph, Sif Katan Dalid. But those after, I may change the order of things. So just to sum up, you know, today we'll just do some, we'll fill in some of the, you know, things that we've been discussing that require a couple of more comments, and, you know, begin, hopefully, our discussion of Smicha. Monday, Tuesday, or Monday and part of Tuesday, at least, you know, try to fill in some of the Smicha issues. And then already, hopefully, the end of Tuesday, we can begin with the Mishnah, and then we're going to go straight, again, the first sugya, Beis Amud Aleph, to Gimel Amud Beis, Shlichus Sayu and Ilas Delas. That'll be our first big topic, and then after that we have to discuss the question of Yochid Mumcha and Bezin Shel Gimel. So these are the upcoming topics. Okay? Any questions? Yeah. You got a question? Okay, go. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what there could be a question about. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, so the just a couple of things to fill in before we move on. We talked about the relationship between Bnei Noach and Klal Yisrael with regard to dinim, because dinim is one of the overlapping mitzvot between them. And again, the debate between, you know, the Ramban and the Rambam, and then the, you know, Tshuva the Rama, and the Netziv, and that whole discussion about the two. And particularly because that's the area where, which also just, you know, logically, you would expect any culture would require some sort of legal system, civil law, in order to maintain order, you know, to prevent anarchy. So obviously, dinim is a particularly interesting area to discuss the overlap. So it's interesting just to note that some of the things that we were suggesting, which is that the fact that there are seven as opposed to the taryag, I was suggesting that that has multiple effects. Basically, it, you know, on the one hand, it creates chumras for Bnei Noach because they have less of a, you know, requirement, and therefore it's easier to focus on the small number of obligations. Moreover, if these are the obligations, obviously they loom very large. They're like very core and basic. And therefore the difference between 7 and 613 isn't just a number, and therefore even when there's overlap, that's the argument I've been making and whenever it comes up, but that it reflects qualitative changes, sometimes the kula, sometimes the chumra, but for the same reason. In other words, Yadus, a Jewish law can be more nuanced because, you know, it's spread out and manifests and, you know, it has other ways to express, you know, some of the themes. But in addition to that, it's a more ambitious system. It being a more ambitious system is mostly a chumra, but it also is a kula because every detail within that larger system, you know, is going to be distributed or going to, in terms of opportunities of Avodas Hashem, even the role that it plays particularly, it's just going to be different. You're just going to, you know, if you think of it in very pragmatic terms, you know, in any other part of your life, if you have to focus on one or two things, or you have to focus on 100, it's not just the amount, but obviously the role, the dynamic, all of that is likely. It doesn't have to, but it's very likely to change. Anyways, in the context of Tshuvas, I was reading through the Mabit Sefer. I don't know if I mentioned it so much this year. I mentioned Pat, just a great sort for people to be aware of anyway, just like Drashas Aran is an amazing sefer. So too, and Rabbeinu Yonah's Shari Tshuva is an amazing sefer, I should also add. But the Beis Elokim of the Mabit is really a very fascinating work. Anyways, he has a whole section on Tshuva, and in the context of that, towards the end in particular, he develops the idea that, you know, of course, the story of Yonah, the Navi Yonah, proves, if you needed proof, that there is tshuva for non-Jews as well. But he takes a very strong view that while there is a kiyum of tshuva and an opportunity of tshuva for non-Jews, the obligation of tshuva is specifically a Jewish obligation. Moreover, he argues that the quality, I'm not going to go into all the details here, but it's very fascinating, and it works in very well with other things that we've discussed about tshuva, actually, which we did a number of shiurim before, before Yom Tovim. He takes the view also that, you know, the quality of tshuva, not just the chiyuv, but, you know, what tshuva addresses and what it accomplishes. Nasis kiskuyos, you know, the fact that it's, you know, not just individual, but tzibur, you know, that it elevates you and that it's connected to the totality of your existence, and avodas Hashem, which is how he starts his discussion of tshuva, that don't think tshuva is about neutralizing chataim. Again, he too takes this very explicitly, but it's about, you know, your relationship with the Baruch Shalom. He says a lot of these things about tshuva, even though there is tshuva for non-Jews, and it's important, he's not belittling it, you know, ki huzeh, but he says, but you just have to understand that, you know, this is a primarily Jewish concept as a chiyuv, and not only that, but the nuances and the way that it's manifest is also just totally different. You have to look at the whole piece. It's really excellent. But he says, how could that be when throughout the whole you know, analysis of tshuva from the very beginning, I've been focusing on the fact that the Gemara says in Psachim and the Medrash says that this is like, you know, one of the things created before creation, Parshas Bereishis, right? Because a man, you know, isn't, you know, necessarily a sinning creature, Koheles, and so there has to be tshuva. Tshuva's a chesed, but tshuva's an indispensable requirement. So how could it be, if that's the case, that this is limited as a chiyuv, or that some of its expressions are limited to the Jewish people? So he says, and this is also fascinating, he says, and don't think that, you know, this indicates some sort of discrimination against non-Jews, or the, you know, implies the insignificance of their existence, because Chas v'Shalom, it doesn't do that at all. The fact that he's, again, sensitive to this issue is also very interesting. So he says, no, in the end of the day, the answer lies in this idea of Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. he says, in the end of the day, if you have Sheva Mitzvos, so then, you know, the ability to focus on that in a very single-minded way, you know, makes the inevitability of sin, you know, questionable. So basically, it's all connected. The level of ambition impacts both the quality of the requirements, of the commitment, of the content, and that in turn also dictates, you know, the need for, and therefore the quality of, again, I'm putting together several things that he says, but this is basically what he says, of this idea. And he, you know, explicitly talks about the numbers, and he also explicitly talks about the, in this context, the chumra part of it, namely, Azaroso, Zuhi, Misaso. He says, like, why should it be that if a non-Jew steals, you know, a chatzi pruta, that's considered, you know, if a Jew steals $1 million, it's not a capital crime, and if he steals a chatzi pruta, you know, it's not even, you know, the full act of gzela. We wouldn't say what it is. Is it chatzi shir, or is it something else? Whatever. But when a non-Jew steals less than a pruta, that's, you know, azaroso zui misaso. So he says, no, it's not discrimination. It's just that, you know, given the structure and the fact that there are so few demands, this is the focus that there needs to be. And if you don't have that, then you're really going to have a breakdown in society. So azaroso zui misaso, the small number, and the fact that there is no obligation of tshuva, even though there's a kiyum of tshuva, and that tshuva is more about, you know, neutralizing, you know, bad consequences than it is, you know, an act of avodas Hashem with all the, you know, attendant nafgamina. He says all this is one big. Again, he says this in different places, but this is really what comes across. So I think that is very, you know, supportive of a lot of the issues that we were speaking about, and you know, should be noted. Okay. he also says something very fascinating, which is relevant to us as well. He points out that in the context of tshuva, right, we have tshuva b'zman hazeh, even though there's no mikdash, clearly. But obviously in the time of the mikdash, when there were karbanos, so the bringing of karbanos was a prerequisite for tshuva. It required tshuva, as we know, and that's where the vidui comes in, and all those gemaras that speak about it. But, you know, you needed tshuva and karbanos. So he's just troubled why it would be that you have both of these requirements at the time of the mikdash, but you don't have both of these requirements because you can't have them bizmanenu. So why should that be true? Ah, so he says, see if I can find it, that the time when there are karbanos is an opportunity, just 1 second, if I can find it. By the way, what I was talking about before is Perek Yudalad, meaning the tshuva, the difference between tshuvas Yisrael and tshuvas non-Jews is Perek Yudalad of Shara Tshuva. That's where he speaks about this. I'll just read you a line from that also. Then he explains. Losha no marsh in base echad mehem achakach yellow helic mabak. Kivin shashav the chasidiyom asalo out shalokhatu. Elishin is aru bezaim bitsupene no shesham helical mabak. Shenokak. Hidai lahem shato ilaim a hachuva baolamazesh. Israel shehemisa makelius bark bimitsos vaz haros vain ishbarts a sheyasato veloyechata. Came to from the midas hachuva. Avala umo shen lahem ol al tsavaram kim shavnitsupene noach levaj enam bikiumam koshi trichim. Leo Zahirim Bam. Dimyabra Lotoil Chuvasa. Elishly Yanchuv Za Olam Kaniska. Kya Chuva y Mitzvah Nimnes Bakal Ramach Mitzvah Se Shahili Yisrael Lavad. Shame that Stabul Ashur Bachuva Lisvadis of Neakel. And then he goes on to explain this in much more detail. Anyways, when he, if I can find this, I'll give it one more second to look for it. If I can't, I'll just, you'll look for it. But he talks about this idea of the requirement of korbanos. So he explains that in the time when there are korbanos, were you able to find it? No. He says when there are korbanos and Bezin Hagadol is sitting in the Lishlas Hagazis, see, that is a time when it's much more difficult to sin, because the extra spiritual focus of that era, if I can find it. Okay, if I can't find it, I will just... He basically says that the extra focus on spirituality in the time when there are korbanos is conducive to Klal Yisrael being more disciplined and more focused on Shmiras HaMitzvos. And therefore, it's both the presence of the Shekhinah, A, and therefore the presence of the Shekhinah, it makes less likely sin. And when there is sin, in a way, it's more of a mered. It's an interesting ha'ara, too, because how could you be choten in such a context? Right. So that is what stimulates an excessive requirement of tshuva, which includes, korbanos in addition. So if you live with manazeh, so the likelihood of sin, the, I wouldn't say justification, but the comprehensibility, let's say, of sin is greater. The quality of the sin is lesser, and consequently, you don't need korbanos, in addition to the tshuva itself. Anyways, in the context of saying this, I wish I could find the line. I just can't find it at the moment. He says that the presence of Bezin Hagadol and the Lishas Hagazis as people who inspire, who A, embody the nochut of the Shekhinah, and who inspire fidelity, to Taryag Mitzvos, is such that that's part of the equation too. Of course, that fits in very beautifully with the whole approach that we've been trying to project of Shotim to Shotrim, not just being there to, Lemaisa implement and execute, but, as exemplars who change the atmosphere and the climate. Yeah?
So what did he say about the last 40 years of Bayashim?
I don't know. He doesn't address it. Obviously, other factors were just, so rampant and overwhelming that, he's not saying that this is, He's not stripping Klal Yisrael of their Bechira Chafshis, right, in either direction. So what he's saying is that this, all things being equal, this kind of a climate is a powerful factor and force. It just shows you how, other things can sometimes, override that, obviously. I guess that's what he would say. He doesn't seem bothered by it. I wouldn't be so bothered by it either, because it isn't a fatalistic, mechanistic statement. It's a statement about assessing, the prospects for sin and the significance of sin, in different eras. That can still be true and be overridden by forces, that get out of hand. So I think that's what he would say. But no, it's a good ha'ara to think about, Anyway, so this Beis Elokim belongs on our list. Again, the idea is, as I noted, that the Rambam, especially in Sefer Mitzvos, links Dine Nefashos, Batei Dinin. Doesn't even just say the presence in Lishkos Hagazis, like the Kinuch emphasizes, but emphasizes the Zmana Mikdash, as if there's a direct connection between a thriving Yerushalayim and Beis Hamikdash and Korbanos, and the rest of it, which is a ha'ara that I already made, or at least a diuk that I already made, works in very well for the Mabitz comedy. Okay. I also have to bring to attention that the Sefer HaBatim on Tazayin Obedeis, you know, he elaborates on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, and this, he has a few other ha'aros, which I'll also just work in with things that we've been discussing, but in his own way. He talks about in the Shitz Kamay, this is on page 230, column 2, the Kavanas Mitzvah Zubat Ta'altam Bevoeres Be'atzma Amnam. He has, you know, Misparam V'hadvarim She'aduna L'fiya Mispar Ze Be'araha Kabbalah. He's trying to figure out the numbers of the, you know, different Batei Dinim and, you know, the makeup of the people. So, number one, he speaks about the 10, I mean, 10, 10, and 3 in the Bezit Shalchav Kim, but it's interesting. The Kibbutz HaSar Yeshlo Ma'ala B'chol HaDvarim She'yisoreru Mitzad Misparam. The reason I'm reading this is, first of all, it's interesting, but that aside, there again seem to be implications here that there are dinim of Bezdin. As much as Bezdin is part of civil law and rational law, you know, etc., but that the configuration and some of the pratim of Bezdin again reflect, you know, a certain, you know, structure of kedusha, basically, and a kind of a transcendence, something that's more than the sum of its parts. So the idea of kibbutz asari yesh lamala b'chol advarim she yis oreru mitzad misparam is something to think about. Number one, you know, that you need it's, you know, a minion, basically, which we associate in the Gemaras and the Megillah, right, with davar shebikdusha, probably not orachara here. But then he goes on to say, just one more second, I'll take your question. Umispar Sanhedrin Gedola b'shivim shamati me'echad mi'balei ha'iyun. We have to find out who that is. Ki haya daitam shemispar hatnuos shivim. Right? V'yeh echad aleihem lehora'a al hamania harisha. So again, this is this idea that somehow, you know, there's like a full representation of you know, something, you know, like 71 is a comprehensive totality, you know, where you're getting like a full treatment and picture. And also what's fascinating, which we'll get back to in a second, is that the one of the 70, and it's 70 basically, because that we know, like Shivim Lashon, Shivim Umos, right? That's, again, I'm not, I don't want to get too symbolically far afield, but you know, it implies like the fullness of the range, you know, like you're seeing this picture. This topic is being handled, you know, comprehensively from all perspectives, that kind of a thing. That's what the Shivim is, according to him. Via Echad Aleim Lahora Alamania Harisha. So that we're going to get to in a second. Anyway, I want to speak just about the different shitas about Echad Memuna Al Kulam, the Balei Tosis view. The one apparently of the 71 is, you know, playing a different kind of a role, a more comprehensive role, right? Uniting, you know, all of the above, or inspiring all the above. Then he says the Sanhedrin Tana, right? Esrim Ushlosha Kimispar Kola Galgalim im Galgalei Hahakafot. Again, I'm not going to go there, but I just think it's fascinating that we're talking about, you know, Bezin of Dine Nefashos. The Kavanah Samispar Beseder Yeshivasam Yesh Ha'ara Gedola. The sitting nemar ba'agada shenemar yirida b'sanhedrin kedera shenemar b'sinai. Also interesting. Vina yachas gamken yesh poto eles. The fi sheteva hamachzev roish yenimna v'meshe yichatzev vimenu. Why do you need you know, special qualities for the dayanim? Right, shleimim, chachamim, yireim. So again, the pashtus is because you need these qualities to be done. But he thinks, again, that in addition to that, these are like transcendent qualities of the Gavra Dayanim. Teva hamachzev roishiyan nimna kivni v'meshe yichatzev mimenu. V'zeh kavanis rabboseinu she'en ha'shchina shora elal mishpachos miyuchasos b'yishol. We'll get to that in a second. V'inyan ha'yacha su l'archokas ha'mamzerus v'avaras kiyotze v'zeh. But that has to do with ha'shoras ha'shchina. Then he talks about Mashabab Kabbalah, Shema Midim Zakin Muflag Bishanim, Velosaris, Zakin Muflag, Kikvar Kholshu Kokoseim Vesikla. Basarisim, as we know, that we'll talk about, that's because of the Midah of Chemla versus Achzorius. Anyways, then finally, Mashaba Kabbalah HaMitis Shaminuyim Kulam Be'eretz Yisrael, Zem Bevuar HaKavana Kilamalas HaAretz Yamalas HaYoshvim Ba. Once again, he doesn't interpret it like I was suggesting for the Rambam, which I think is absolutely correct, which is it's about the din of Klal Yisrael and Shlichus of Klal Yisrael. More like the Aruch HaShulchan, you know, that this is you know, about Ma, the Gemara HaShulchan had said it, and Josh brought it to our attention, with regard to Tumas Eretz Ha'amamim, you know, and Avira Da'ara Di Yisrael. He too is saying it's Bishumalas Eretz Yisrael, but again, a transcendent kind of a thing. Very similar to what I just read in the Beis Elokim. Lefishim ipnet saras hazman v'hagalus ha'emes nederes. Right? So it's a din in Beis HaMikdash Kayam, according to him, like the Rambam. Not so much a din in, you know, Bez and Sitting Belishus HaGazes per se. Ubedine nefashus tzorek yishuv adas. Okay? So again, several things with regard to Eretz Yisrael, Yichus, Zman HaMikdash, the numbers of 10 and 70 and 71, which are pointing in directions that we talked about. Just one more second before I take your question, and that is, again, Josh had also mentioned me, it was on my list anyway for later, and that is that the, you know, when the Rambam speaks about Miyuchasim in Perek Beis, Hilchos Sanhedrin Halacha Aleph, by the way, I have your Rambam in case you were in my office. I thank you for it. Well, I'm going to get back to you. Ein maminim Sanhedrin bein begdola bein bektana el anashim chachamim nebonim muflain b'chachma tzatora balei deya meruba yodim ksas mishar chachmos kegon refuos techezbo tzkufos amazalos. So on, of course, on refuos techezbo and tzkufos amazalos mitzteigenus b'darkei ma'onanim b'kosmim etc. So the Ramach, I think we already made this comment, argues, right? Lo yadati me'ayin hotzizeh b'temahu matzorech l'dayanim she'edu refuos v'cheshbonos v'chachmas amazalos tzorechi. So we already discussed, you know, whether or not this is for practical reasons, or again, you know, my preferred explanation, that this is something which broadens them. Again, a Torah Mada, you know, commercial. But in the Rambam, not surprising. But it broadens their, you know, perspective on the world and on, you know, knowledge. You know, it provides greater insight. You know, which in an indirect way, but that's just as important, is a requirement for Dayan. Anyway, then the Rambam goes on to say, the Ein Ma'amidim Sanhedrin Ela Kohanim Uleviim V'Yisraelim Miyuchasim Haruim Lahasi LeKuhuna Shenemar V'Hisyatzvu Sham Imach V'Domim Lach B'Chachma U'Biyira U'Biyichos. Right. So the Rambam quotes this pasuk V'Hisyatzvu Sham Imach V'Domim Lach that refers to Yichos as well, and therefore you have to be, they have to be Miyuchasim. So the Kesef Mishnah, or the Nosa Kalim in general, point out that this is not the right pasuk. So the Kesef Mishnah says, "Shenemar v'satzu shamimach." Hari b'gemara v'yirai mipasuk zeh v'dachu. Dilmahasa mishum shchina kamer lefisha osam shemimei Moshe shorsa shchina aleim k'dasiv atzalti min aruach asher alacha. So that initial v'atzalti min aruach is about the shchina, but that shouldn't be the requirement L'dore doros of being a member of Bez and Shochav Gimel. L'fikach etzorach shiyu miyuchasin al sanhedrin di'amal obinan el rav nachem bar yitzhak amar krov v'nosu itcha itcha v'domim lach kom v'dahai krov v'sanhedrin shen v'smanu v'atzas yisro v'ksiv v'hakel me'olacha v'nosu itach v'bahanu leka v'shum shchina. The Kesef Mishnah is pointing out based on the Gemara that there are two different paradigms, yisro and v'atzaltim in aruach. One is just purely pragmatic, seemingly, about, you know, the structure and the efficiency of the legal system, the hierarchy of the system. And the other is more about, you know, broader spiritual leadership and Hashos Hashchina. So the Kesef Mishnah says, V'efshar lomar desfir leinu rabbeinu, d'hai kusha v'dilma mishum shchina lo haba ela libid rabbi Yehuda, v'lo ha libid rabbanan, v'arminu sofer kamit Sanhedrin, Sanhedrin Gedol Shel Ayin Aleph. Raminan Hasam, Rab Yuda Imach Mishum Shchina Mashma. So again, this of course works very well with the fact that in Perek Dalid, you know, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam, as we've noted several times, and this is the Aruch HaShulchan was wondering about this also, but you know, we said this right away. You know, V'chein Hashivim Skein Moshe Rabbeinu Samchan V'Sharas Aleim Shchina. So again, this is all just the history. Or once we say Ad Beis Dino Shel Yeshua Ad Beis Dino Shel Moshe Rabbeinu, this is, you know, living history. This is history again. Lamaisa, maybe we don't do it this way anymore, but you know that source, that paradigm, continues at least to project the ambition. So then, quoting the pasuk and the Havamino, which is about the Shechina, it's not a raya because maybe it could be mechalek, but even lemaskana, right? There is this element which the Rambam himself, you know, projects so clearly. The Rambam also has here, Perek Dalet, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, so I'm going to get to in a second, U'mitzvah li'os v'sanhedri gedola kohanim u'levim. Shenemer basala kohanim ha'levim. V'im lo matzu afilu kulam Yisrael ariz amutter. L'chatchila, you should have, you know, a representation of kohanim u'levim. That's Halacha Beis. So this is based on the Sifrei. But for some reason, the Ramach didn't know about it, so he just says, "Afa pishuhu may be mikra minat Torah in a mafurish b'halacha v'tzarkiyim." Then on the Gilyon, which they printed here in the Frankel, it says, "Mafurish b'sifrei like kohanim alavim bitzur bezna gadol shiu b'kohanim alavim yochal ein ba yehi pasul tamidam el shafet afa pishay b'kohanim." Anyways, but the Ramach points out it's not in the Bavli, it thinks. So it's either way. It's very interesting that the Ram has it. So, what's that all about? And that seems to be limited to Beis Din HaGadol. So we'll get back to that in just a second. Okay. So finally, I just wanted to make want to speak about two more points. One is Mishpat Tzedek. I want to just round that out a bit. Again, Shoftim Shoftetu Kol B'Kol Sharecha Asher Hashem Alekecha Masein L'Kol L'Shvatecha V'Shoftu Esa'am Mishpat Tzedek. So we talked about that at length when we talked about the Drashas Haran and his, you know, again, breakthrough that Mishpat Tzedek, you know, is meant to contrast with Mishpat HaMelech, and the whole we traced, you know, his whole view, again, that Kosher Mishpat, you know, like Kodshim and Taharos, is again transcendent, you know, religious, spiritual law, right? And that's the contrast between Melech and Shofet. And in the end of the day, you know, even though in the beginning he draws a total dichotomy, I try to prove that if you read the whole piece, right, at the end he tells you that the Melech is really serving that function too. Initially, it's the Melech is the equivalent of secular, you know, Bnei Noach law. And in the end, he says, no, actually, he's also, you know, facilitating this. So Mishpat Tzedek is an innovative drasha for the Ran. The Shoftos of Mishpat Tzedek means the Cheftza of Choshem Mishpat, right, is Mishpat Tzedek as opposed to Mishpat Hamel. That's the pshat. But Rashi, as we know, says that it refers to, you know, Dayanim, you know, who refers to Minui Dayanim. But Rashi adds the word, I mentioned last time, that, you know, that this Mishpat Tzedek is for the sake of the Tzedek Hadin. I just wanted to point out, as I did last time, I just wanted to bring it in, that the Sifrei that they're quoting does not say that. The Sifrei itself says, Mishpat Tzedek, Zem Minu Yadayanim. That's all the Sifrei says. Rashi says, Sheimanu Dayanim Mumchim V'Tzadikim, Lishpot Tzedek. So I'm not even sure in Rashi what the pshat is. I think that there are two ways to read Rashi. Right, the pragmatic way is that you have to appoint Dayanim, worthy Dayanim, right? The goal is, you know, the result that they will be done Mishpat Tzedek. Right? I think it's possible even with Rashi to suggest the more conceptual Peirush, which is you have to appoint Dayanim who are capable of being done Mishpat Tzedek, not because of the Mishpat Tzedek per se, but because of what Minui Dayanim, you know, is also intended to accomplish. I'm not sure in Rashi. But either way, I'm just pointing out that for the Sifrei, certainly That could be the pshat, meaning it's a shiur in the gavra of the dayanim who are appointed, rather than the mechayiv, right, of this din. Okay, so that is that's number one. The netziv, on the other hand, suggests that really what the sifrei is addressing is something else. The nira the ilim knows dayanim mumchim lafuke she'enam mumchim kvar ksiv lo takir. I'm reading the parish of the netziv now. Kvar ksiv lo takir upanim b'mishpat b'darsh b'sifrei parshas dvarim shlo yimanu dayanim she'akir upanim al pi ta'us ha'in sham ela afilu shneim mumchim elisha echad mumcha bechavero v'don yoser b'tzedek mitzvah ala memunim l'manosa yoser. So according to the netziv, really what's the pshat of Mishpat Tzedek is even between, it's a relative question in the hierarchy of mumchen. But here there's also two deyas in the Netziv, which again keeps the parallel what I was just suggesting about Rashi and Yisafrei, and that is that because you're mostly focused on the result, meaning somebody who has the ability to give you this result, or is this, you know, greater mumchius, again, a shir in the gavra. So he says, the first one is v'don yoser b'tzedek. One mumcha, a mumcha mechavero, you might say, oh, they're mumchim. You know, a little more, a little less. Chiddush of the netziv. No, even then you have to, you know, try to get the best you can. V'don yoser b'tzedek. But then he says, oh, hachi perusho, haminui tzorech lios b'tzedek. V'hadin osein, shekola mumcha mechavero, yoser kosher lios dayon. Which means, the second shot means, that it's a shiur in, it's not a din in the result at all. It's not even that the result defines the minui. He's just saying it's a din in its own right, that the more qualified, even if it's a quantitative difference between one mumchen and the other, the quantity justifies the din of minui. First of all, it's an interesting point. It just shows you how serious we are, both about the result and about the gavra dayan in terms of hierarchies. That's an important thing. Because we're talking about two mumchen. But it's certainly the second pshat of the netziv, again, works very well with what we're suggesting about this being about the gavra dayan. Okay? So that's just one thing I wanted to mention. The netziv and hamegdavar, these are both all things that were in the Maimon Kol, so I just never got to them. Try to get sweep them up now. In Hamikdavar, as you know, the Netziv says that Shoftim Shoftim Titan L'chav B'chol Sharech, that we did discuss, refers to is Lashon Yachid, right? He says it refers to Sanhedrin Gedola in their guise as Shlichim of Knesset Yisrael. Really refers to Klal Yisrael. Whenever Klal Yisrael is spoken about as a unit, it's Lashon Yachid, Titan L'cha. That's what the Netziv says. So this Titein Lecha means Knesset Yisrael by the mech, by means of Bez Nagog. And that's, of course, we were trying to suggest that's all because maybe the Pshat in the Chinuch, and Sefer Yitzchak Sajigo and Bahag, and so on. That's the Hamigdav. Why am I telling you that now, that we did discuss already? So he says that's also the Pshat in the Shaftu Esha'am Mishpat Tzedek, that it goes back to Bez Nagogol in their Shlichos for Klal Yisrael. In other words, the task doesn't terminate when you have in place a proper Bezdin or proper Dayan. It's also important to take responsibility going forward. Again, this is very, all these discussions, and I don't want to get into it now, but, you know, how makbid should we be about having, you know, the best possible, you know, Dayanim and Dinim, etc. You know, so you could say, oh, well, you know, you have a certain level of competence, that's okay. And certainly on a b'di'evad level, it is. But according to the Netziv, he says, Mikan, Rosh Ha'ir, I guess the mayor, the political leader of the town, is responsible for, you know, he doesn't, you know, my job is done. This idea of the splitting of powers, you know, like you have like in the American system, let's say, is not a Jewish concept, really. As we saw, Bezna Gadol are, you know, the you know, they're the Ikatar Shebaal Peh, they're also the legislative body, they're also the, you know, appeals court of final, you know, determination, and they're also the highest bezdin. So what the Netziv is saying is, v'shaftus ha'mishpat tzedek continues to be the responsibility of the people who made the initial appointment, as they have to continue to be assessing and taking responsibility for the appointments, you know, after the fact. They continue to be responsible for the quality of mishpat tzedek. That's the continuation of his pshat. He says that's the pshat in Koheles. It says the sanesi Esachayim, Ani Esachayim, Shlomo Melech says. So the Medrash says, "Oh, this refers to, you know, the political leaders who see that you know, the Dayanim that they appointed are corrupt or at least incompetent, etc." So it says that's the pshat, because the Shafat Asa'am Mishpat Tzedek isn't the only the obligation of the Dayanim; it's the obligation of Klal Yisrael, by means of the people who represent its interests, whether it's Bezna Gadol or Rosh Ha'ir, in the process as well. So that's an interesting twist on Mishpat Tzedek. Also note that the Netziv, in his totally separate point, in his Parish on the Sifri, suggests that Shoftim v'Shotrim, that Shotrim apply to Bezna Gadol as well. Pashtus, this is something that Rabbi Yochum Peshul Perlo speaks about in his piece, and say from its Rapsadjagon, is that maybe Shotrim do not apply to Beznagolo, but then it's it has that view. Okay. Finally, I just wanted to talk about Echod Memuna Alakol, the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. We've partially discussed it, right? The Gemara on Tezayan Omed Beis. I'm not sure. Right, the Gemara says here that Enos and Sanhedros, Minalon Kedashka Moshe Duuki Sanhedros. Of course, it's very fascinating, especially in light of everything we've discussed, right? Moshe b'makom shivim v'chad koi. So it's Moshe Rabbeinu, and he's substituted for by the, you know, Sanhedrin Agadol. And of course, again, according to the Tziv, the Chinuch, the, what we've said for the Rambam, Tziv for Mitzvos, all this works very nicely, because it's Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe in the Midbar, everything we discussed. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Minayin Shem Abidim Shoftim Yisrael, right, in that whole discussion, Shoftim and Shoftrim. And then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Echod Memuna Al Kula, Shenemar Tite Lecha, Shem Gamayam, L'Shvatecha, V'Shoftu, Mitzvah V'Shevet, Lodun Es Shifta. We already discussed that Rabbi Yehuda's Echod Memuna Al Kula is, first of all, is it referring to the first appointee or the appointer, right? That seems to be a machlokes, right? The Ramah, Rabbi Yona say it's the appointer. Rambam here at least seems to think that, in Sefer Mitzvah, seems to think that it's the first appointed one. That in itself is an interesting discussion. But there's a bigger discussion, a bigger argument between Rashi and the Baalei Tosfos, what this even refers to, Bezna Gadol. Again, if it refers to Bezna Gadol, so it sounds like, and this is also something that the Rambam says, Esfali Shivamish, right, is an alternative pasuk. There seem to be two psukim. Whether it's the Memanim or the Nimnim, there seem to be two psukim. That's, you know, the Rambam's Ha'ara and Sefer Mitzvos. And it's also Rabbeinu Yona and the Chiddush Aran's Ha'ara on the Gemara here in Tezayinu days. So that, I think, as we discussed at the time, whether you're going to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu or from Tite Lecha, maybe that's good for the question. Is this about the interests of Klal Yisrael and Klal Yisrael the Mamana? Or is it an internal judicial thing, in which case it's, it's not Betoras Manhig or Ha'am, but it's an internal judicial issue. Okay, but that aside, Rashi says that the reference here is Bezdin HaGadol. The Netziv says, well, if that's the case, it's too obvious. Like, everybody knows Bezna Gadol. So, firstly, the Netziv himself suggests that Rashi holds that it's Bezdin HaGadol Shel Kol Sheva. This is the Netziv in his Parish on the Sifrei. So that, I think, is very wild. I think that's just a great example. Just like we talked about the Ksam Sofer, thinking that the Rambam kind of agrees with the Ramban, you know, on Dinim. I said that's a great example how, you know, the Ramban's impact. So too, this Netziv who thinks that Rashi's pshat of Echam Emunah Kulam Bezdin HaGadol refers to Bezdin HaGadol Shel Shevet, just, you know, shows you, I think, the impact of the Ramban. But it's very hard to believe that that's what Rashi really had in mind. Anyways, but Rashi says it refers to Sanhedrin HaGadol, and Tosas understands that it's the role of Sanhedrin HaGadol in the minui of Batei Dinim B'chol Ir B'Ir. The Me'iri Alatar on Tezayin Beis also says that it's Sanhedrin HaGadol, but interestingly enough goes out of his way to say that it's not Sanhedrin HaGadol's role in appointing other Batei Dinim, but Sanhedrin HaGadol's role in Kfiya and in Iror, which highlights again this this question: are Sanhedrin HaGadol's different portfolios connected or not? It's almost like the Meiri wants to answer the question. Well, isn't that obvious? You know, Echad Memuna Al Kulam. The answer is no. We're not talking about Minui Dayanim here. We're talking about Iror. We're trying to talk about the special thing, not just their highest role in the hierarchy, but the manifestation that has no equal, right, in Kfiya and in Iror. So that's the pshat in the Meiri. Okay, so you have the Ramah, the Rambam, Rabbi Yona, the Ram, the Meiri, Rashi, the Netziv, and so on. But the most, maybe the most intriguing pshat is Tosas. What does Tosas say? What?
The Nasi.
Or the Mufla. So that itself is a very fascinating pshat. The Mufla, says Tosas, who is not counted in the minyan. So number one, what is that? Like, why do you have somebody who's a mufla, who doesn't vote? So number one, that seems to stake out kind of the need for somebody who's, in the system but above the system, a more objective, party, who's not even, in other words, I'm not talking about his objectivity in the case. Anybody can vote any way they want. So the Masa Matan, anybody can be objective, obviously. But the idea that there should be somebody who knows he's not going to take a stand and who shouldn't take a stand, he's the Mufla, meaning he's there to give direction or there's a certain extra stature that he has that is needed and that he has by virtue of the fact that he's not going to vote. That's a very interesting idea. We'll have to get back to this. It's not a problem at all, but just put it in perspective when we talk about Dayan Sh'amar Eini Yodea, which hopefully we'll get to in a few weeks. What is the status of a Dayan who says Eini Yodea? Normally he's replaced, but in Mamanus and Nefashos he's Ki'isa, he's Kalesa. I made reference to it last year a little bit, and we'll talk about Avos. We'll speak about that at length. So this idea of a mufla who dafka doesn't vote, and that's his strength, and he's not supposed to vote, like he's above the whole system, but he's there, a certain mumchiut and a certain objectivity is interesting. Okay. But what's more interesting, that I just want to spend a few minutes on, again, the Netziv in his Perush on the Sifrei, says he doesn't understand Rashi at all, because the Gemara in the fourth parak of Sanhedrin seems to say clearly that the mufla is counted. Hatosus pirshu echad emuna hu mufla. Then he points out bekasvu shaloya mechesman Sanhedrin kedibucha chmishin the horios. Points out that Tosus lishitasam in horios hu kedivreim sham gimel amid beis. Or it also sounds like the mufa is not counted. The kashali, the tzanan perikdal of the Sanhedrin, basar dvarim sheish bein dinim amadus al dinim nefashos, bidinim nefashos matchilim menatzad. The Gemara says, osana al riv, right, without a yud. So it's osana al riv al rav, ruhu am mufla, compared to Rashi Sham. Hare, the hayaha mufla, yoshe bein dinim nefashos Sanhedrin. Bein lomar dahasam, asi the loker of Yehuda, basar dvarim shebein. Dinim Adam Meolam. The Ramu is Bimikros. So he says something fascinating. Yeshliyashev the Shamayu Rubezun Shelchav Gimel. Lohaya Mufla Nimna Imaim. Rubezna Goda Lohaya Nimna. Then he adds, Ava Minayin Lanu Lechalik. Calls that. Yosanira de the Kula Almahya Mufla Lekol Bezdin. Ela Shrabanan Haya Imo Ayin Aleph. Kimob Bezun Shamosha. Vaya Moshe Miminyan Asanhedrin. Behua Mufla. Vari Sabar Lohaya Ela Shivim. Ubatocha Maya Mufla. Echad. Al Gabeya. Shahaya Miminyan Asanhedrin. Whether 71, 72, basically. V'chenai bezun shamosha, sholonimna moshe imayim, l'das Rabbi Yehuda, ha'yimufla acher, v'bazanicha da'azul l'shit asai. Okay, so the Tziv's solution is also very interesting. And we'll get back. I should note it, just derech agav, that the Chidush Aran quotes the view of the Balei Tosfos and rejects it. Why? That was a while ago. Anybody remember? Because he says that according to Tosfos, it would seem like the debate between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in the Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph would then be that everybody agrees that you need a bezin of 71. Sorry. Everybody agrees you need a bezin of 71. The only argument is whether the 71st, the mufla, is counted in the decision making or not. So it doesn't sound that way. It sounds like there's really a debate whether bezin HaGadol is comprised of 70 or 71. You know, whereas according to this, everybody admits it's 71. The only question is whether the mufla votes or not. Right? Again, the Netziv is trying to address that issue. Okay. But I want to get back just to the what does the Ran himself say? That the reference is to the Nasi, Echad al Gaba, Mamun al Kulam. Means that the Nasi is the Memane of the Bate Dinim, the Kol Ir, the Ir. That's not the Sanhedrin HaGadol, but the Nasi. Okay, that also gives, let me put it this way, both the Ran and Balei Tosfos seem to give prominence to the one in the 71. And that's what I was referring to before, the Sefer HaBatim, who in a totally different way, symbolically, right, explains that, you know, 71 is 70, right, and 1. That works nicely, both according to Tosfos and according to Ran, each in their own way, right? This isn't 71, it's 70 and 1. And of course, it's all connected, partially at least, to how you understand Moshe Rabbeinu as the paradigm and so on. Fine. But what I really want to get back to, for a couple of minutes, is what the Netziv suggests and dismisses, because it seems to have a stira, right? That mufla is counted in Bezna Shulchav Gimel. So he says, oh, maybe shiny Bezna Gadol mi Bezdin Shulchav Gimel. But then he says, well, but why should you? Right? Oh. So of course, this is exactly what we've been talking about, you know, all along. And that is the qualitative difference, you know, between the batim. We talked a lot about, you know, Bezin Shel Gimel and Chaf Gimel. One's a Bezdin, one's a Sanhedrin. You know, the role in the hierarchy, the Din of Psulim. Then we talked also about, Kabbalas Edus of a smaller Bezdin for a bigger Bezdin. There might be a difference between Chaf Gimel and Ayin Aleph, right? As opposed to Gimel and Chaf Gimel, in addition to the other things. But we've also certainly noted that Bezin Shel Ayin Aleph, you know, have a different role. And especially, so here the question is as follows. Only because of their extra hats, their extra portfolios, in other words, their Ikar Torah Shebaal Peh, they're the Court of Appeals, they also have a legislative function, sometimes they're the representatives of Klal Yisrael, right? So what you might say is, when they're trying a case, when it's the Dvarim HaGadolim and the Dvarim HaChashuvim, so they're just a more mumcha, you know, Sanhedrin. You know, maybe it goes back to the Netziv's, you know, Mishpat Tzedek, his view of Mishpat Tzedek. Fine. But, you know, when it comes to these other matters, that's a different story. Or, even the difference between Dvarim HaGadolim and Dvarim HaChashuvim and the rest is a qualitative difference in terms of the, not only the, you know, the makeup of the Gabra Dayanim, you might be Mechalek, but that's certainly one issue. But maybe even the structure, right, and the configuration of the Beis Din. Or, another way to say the same thing, no, I shouldn't say that. A different way to say something parallel, I do think it's different, is to say that maybe, like I said before, the checks and balances, you might say, well, the Beis Din HaGadol, you know, it's not so much checks and balances, but at least the different portfolios, they don't overlap. They're, you know, distinctive. They're discrete. You know, Beis Din HaGadol as the court for Dvarim HaKshuvim and Gedolim is one thing. Their status as, you know, the appeals court, the representation of Klal Yisrael, Ikar Torah Shebaal Peh, these are different things. Or, if you want to make it more complicated, some of them overlap and some of them don't. All right, certainly you could say their shlichus is different. Their Torah Shebaal Peh. But it would be more intriguing if it wasn't. The part I'm trying to make is, they could be qualitatively different because of Dvarim Chashuvim and Gedolim per se, or they, even if you thought that the rest of it was discrete, or some of it was discrete, but it also could be that it's just not discrete. It's not a coincidence. You know, you might say, oh, well, these are the most talented Talmid HaKhamim, these are the Chachmei HaMesorah, they've got to do this, this, that, and the next thing, but never the twain shall meet. They're just the most qualified for all these things, you know. Like, you know, the decathlon guy? Yeah? Decathlon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, they're the halachic decathlon. Ites, whatever. So they do a lot, you know, they're the best in this, the best in that, the best in thing, but that doesn't mean, or no, it's not that, it's because it focuses on the Gavra Dayan, so the overlap, you know, redefines or is connected to all of their roles. Ah. So number one, again, the role of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu Keneged Ayin Aleph is something that needs to be traced. That's when does the Gemara say it and when not? When is it a machlokas? When is it accepted? Right? In terms of the, you know, Echad Mamun al Kulam, you know, it sounds like there are two psukim or two days in the Gemara. The numbers, Ayin, Ayin, Aleph. Right? In terms of the Yichus and those other things, right? For Sanhedrin Agadol at least, when do we say Moshe Rabbeinu Keneged Ayin Aleph and what do we mean by it? Because again, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Melech, and he was the Kohen Gadol, and he was, you know, Rabbeinu, and he was the greatest Navi, and so on and so forth. Interesting, the Yad Ramah, like, is troubled by the application to Moshe Rabbeinu in a Gemara. Anybody have the line? Somebody can get the line? He says, basically, how could you compare Bezim Shalayin Av to Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, was done by Piagvura. There's an interesting tshuva we'll get to in a second in the Otzar Gonim. How could you they're bothered? How can you compare, you know, the yichus of Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, to the yichus of people in Sanhedrin? Moshe Rabbeinu was on a different level completely. How can you compare? It's a Ikari Amuna practically. Again, the Gonim maybe didn't see it as Ikari Amuna, but you know, in light of the Rambam, certainly. Oh, you have a line there, Tavi? Sure. Go ahead.
So he says, "Moshe Rabbeinu, the din who delayed on the Moshe Adif today, Mishum Ve'Achash. I read how your Adonis is set up Yabibur.
Yep.
I like him on this idea of the Rudish Shuzo, some happy Gedola, but maybe I'm at this idea of the Moshe, or it's definitely my time."
Yeah, so in the end, it's hard to know what he thinks. First of all, just because Moshe Rabbeinu was done by Pia Gvura, is that better than Beis Din Shalayin Aleph? Not if you take a Lo Bashamayim, he, you know, kind of an approach. Is that what he's saying? The Maskana, maybe. Again, read the line of the Maskana again. Kivan de Hitiru, something like that. Yeah. So it's hard to know what he's saying, the Maskana. I think it's an open question. But, you know, one could have said, oh, Loba Shamayim. So it's better not to be done by Pia Gvura Dafka. You know, better by Beis Din Shalayin Aleph is Moshe, that part of Moshe Rabbeinu's equivalent. Anyways, the Ramah is an interesting example of that. The Gonim I'll just read to you in a second, you know, is another interesting example of this. You know, when does the Gemara say it, when they don't, when it's Machlokas, when not? What's this equation? But the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, as Beis Din Shalayin Aleph, you know, changes the equation in theory for all the quality of Beis Din Shalayin Aleph completely. The fact that it's not mitzumtzam to even Dvarim Gedolim Ketanim, but as we said before, Ikar Torah Shebaal Peh, Chakika, representation, all of this makes it different. I'm trying to answer the Nesid's question for the moment. Moreover, we talked about Reb Chaim's view. By the way, the Reb Chaim, somebody asked me, is Chidush HaGrach al HaShas on Rosh Hashanah? Right, Chavdal and Omid Beis. Reb Chaim argues that the din minui begavra is limited to Bez Nagadol. It doesn't apply to a regular Sanhedrin. I mentioned that the Rav, didn't like that so much. He thought even a regular Sanhedrin has a din of minui hagavra. It could be that even if it's so, that still there's a different emphasis. In other words, in Sanhedrin Agadol, it's the minui hagavra is the koveya. The tafkid flows from that. And maybe in Sanhedrin Katana, it's the opposite. In other words, there's a tafkid. We'll discuss that when we talk about smicha on Monday. But there's a tafkid, and that's koveya minui hagavra. This particular kind of tafkid creates a minui. It's always an interesting, dynamic between stature, status, in other words, stature, and function, right? In all systems, like a retired president, still gets called Mr. President, Mr. Governor, or just Governor. Anyways, but which is flows from which? There may be a difference between Bezin Shel Ayin Aleph and Bezin Shel Chaf Gimel. Moreover, if you take the view that there really is a Bezin Shel Ayin, and that the voters are only 70, not 71, so there's no din of Bezin Nota in a Bezin of 70. So some people explain, there's so many people, you're not going to get a deadlock anyway. I don't know. Every year in the Kol Elyon, we used to have deadlocks in the good old days. Didn't matter how many people. It was good because I got to break it, didn't matter how many people. So, but some people say, with the Bezin Shel Ayin, you're not going to get a 35 deadlock. Or, if primarily the Bezdin is a body, that's serving these other functions, and that's why it's also the Bezdin of last resort for appeals and for Dvarim Gedolim and Chashuvim, right? So its function of being Bezdin Nota is less significant. Or, put a different way, having a Mufla, like a Moshe Rabbeinu type, or somebody who's completely objective, knowing he's not even going to need to be machria, and just there for his mumchiut and for his, moral and legal suasive, stature power, that outweighs, the din of Bezdin Nota. It's a different perspective, in a slightly different way. The Rav used to explain. Really, Margolius Hayam has this as well. All the Achronim were bothered by Shmaya Vatalia. Because Shmaya Vatalia were Gerim. How could they have been members of, Nasi? How could they be Zugos, members of the Bezdin? So some explain that's true in terms of hearing the Dvarim Machashuvim and the Dvarim Magadolim, sitting on a case. But, Bezdin HaGadol wasn't just about sitting on a case. It was a body. Iker Torah Shebaal Peh, like we've been saying. That's how I think they also explain some of the Achronim, that the Yerushalmi seems to say that there were, Bezdin HaGadols of 100, of 120. Like, where do those numbers come from? It's got to be either 70 or 71. Either way, the basic idea is the idea that we're trying to explain here. And that's the qualitative difference between Sanhedrin HaGadol and Sanhedrin Katana of Chav Gimel. We had in the Rashash, right? The Rashash in the Menachos on Samech Heyom and Aleph, discussing the, again, Shnayim Be'ir, or Shlosha Be'ir, Shnayim Medabrim, and so on. So the Rashash tried to suggest, how could it be that only Gimel, right, are going to, hear the Kabbalah Seidus, of Shivim Lashon? Doesn't the Gemara say that every member of Sanhedrin has to know Shivim Lashon, right? So the Rashash suggests that regarding that issue, that every member of Sanhedrin Agadol has to know Shivim Lashon, Not every member of Bezin of you know Sanhedrin Shalchav Gimel. There you just need at least three, so you Lamaisa can do the debriefing. You know, again, whether Bitar Shlichos or Din Bifneat, all the things that we discussed already about Kabbalah Seidus, you know, in Gemar Din. So once again, and this works in with what Ellie was pointing out correct, who to quote him the name of? That I like very much, which I always thought. The what?
What
about the you know, that Yedias Shivim Lashon isn't a function. The what?
Zohar.
Oh, the Zohar. Okay. Okay. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai.
Yeah.
Okay. Dodge that hole. Okay. So the idea that, you know, Shivim Lashon, again, it goes back to the Ramak's Ha'ara about the Refuah, right? That we talked about just a minute ago. You know, for the functionality of you know being able to hear, maybe if you hold that way, you know, then you know Gimel Mitoch Chav Gimel is enough, and then Gimel Mitoch Ayin Aleph should have been enough as well. But if you're looking for these people, like you know, who are very cultured, who have this insight, who you know have the nuances of language, you know, beyond the pragmatic, use of it. So that's a din of Bezin Shalayin Aleph. But that already is a different, that's not a quantitative difference, that's probably a qualitative difference, and an important one at that. So I thought that is also works very well with the Rambam that we mentioned before. And that is the Rambam's view, we're going to finish in a couple of minutes, I just want to finish so we can start Tzmicha Lav next time. The Rambam's view that Ein Ma'amidim B'Kol Sanhedrin Lo Zakein Mufalag B'Shanim, I'm sorry, mitzvah lios b'sanhedrin gedola kohanim levi'im shenemar be'ubasa ala kohanim ha-levi'im. So why again the Ramak says there's no Gemara like that, and where do we get this thing? Well, why do you have that l'chatchila? So I think that could be two answers, both connected to what we're saying. One is if Sanhedrin Hagadol is you know they embody the interests of Klal Yisrael or the range of Klal Yisrael, so then having that range is important l'chatchila, at least, I mean, having kohanim and levi'im, you know, among them, you know, because that's part of the population. And for us, Kohanim and Levim, again, are not just functionaries. There's a lot of, certainly Kohanim is a mamad, it's a status. You know, Levim may be more of a functionary, but even then, here and there, there are probably some, you know, Petar's Bnei Aaron, maybe as Levim, it's one thing, but as Bnei Aaron, they also have a certain stature. But, you know, Beis Aaron, Bitru Bashem. Anyways, but I think I say that in the name of Rav Chaim. But the that's number one. And of course, you know, it's that representational idea. It's also the idea of, you know, again, stature. You know, having different types of cross-section on the Beis Hagadol, even if it isn't a representation of Klal Yisrael, is something that transcends the actual, you know, Dvarim HaGadolim and Chashuvim as a din, but about the, you know, the policy making and everything else becomes an important. So even if, not in the Gemara, it happens to be in the Sifrei, even if it wasn't in the Sifrei, the Rama may just have felt that this is consistent with this idea. This idea also works to explain that Gaonim that I mentioned. Did I bring it or not? I'm trying to think. I don't have it here. I think I left it in my office. Just one second. Let me see, maybe I did put it in here. One second. So again, with this, I want to answer the. Do you want to just if I can find it? It's worth noting because it's here. There are probably two manila envelopes on my desk. You just bring them along. Oh no, this is the wrong key. One second. That's a different key.
Some more baby storm from the office might be gone by the time they get out.
That's true, I know. There's something going on there. So, again, with this whole mahalach, I'm just trying to answer the Netziv's question, which is, how could Echad Memuna al Kulam, according to Bali Tosas, which refers to the Mufla, you know, who's not in the Minyan, but is a necessary part of the Sanhedrin, and he's, you know, Memuna al Kul. He's not just a consultant, obviously. He's Memuna al Kul, so he's playing a more central role, despite the fact, you know, that he's kind of above the fray. By being above the fray, you know, he's doing. How could that be when the Gemara seems to say, with regard to Bezin Shalchav Gimel, that the Mufla? Oh wow, that's fast. It's a Sadara. So how do you explain that? Oh, would really be nice if I could find it now. So I think that the answer is that this is something that is unique to Bezin HaGadol. It's something which doesn't make really any sense in the more functional Batei Dinim, but it is something which I do have it. I'm sorry. This is it. Okay, so this is tshuva of the in the Otzar Gonim. He has a discussion, and again relating to Moshe Rabbeinu as well. This is Reish Ayin Dalet on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Lama hosif lecha v'lo amar titein stam. A tshuva ki im biderech halashon k'mosh hashar. Okay, fine. Ki yesh karnes b'chonis. Okay. Yesh kavanim yuchedes v'hi kinemar el rosh hador. Titein lecha refers to the rosh hador. Lo timanesh shoftim elami sheyedame lecha. Moshe Rabbeinu was being told the only shofet you should appoint is somebody who is of comparable stature to you. The yelech b'darkecha. Right? So, titen lecha, wow, this is a new pshat, by the way. Right? The titen lecha means, echon memunal kulam, means appoint a Moshe Rabbeinu-esque figure. Okay? So again, it works very nicely in the pattern. It's not the Shita of Malichosis, or of the Kiddushei Haran, or of the Sefer Habatim, namely that the one, there's a one in the 71, and in addition it's Domeh, right, L'mosh Nosh Rabbeinu, he kinemar el Rosh Hador, God Lador, lo timana shoftim el misha domeh lecha, b'yelech b'darkecha, k'moshe nemar l'moshe, hisyatzvu sham imach, b'domim lach, which is also interesting in light of the Rambam, quoting that for the source of Yichus. Anyways, then it says, Ha'im kilo igia elav, right, el Moshe af echad min abruim, ke'edus Hashem alav, lo kam navi od, parallel to the, right, Yad Ramah problem, right? Ulam kemo, so his answer is, yeah, nobody's like Moshe Rabbeinu, but there's a parallel. Kemo sh'ala Moshe b'malel kol abruim, kemo kein, olu ela hashivim azkenim, al bnei dorom b'chachma vadas. Ukemo shemosha ala al kah nivraim, kein olu ela hazkenim al shar bnei gilam. Hadimyan bneim hurak be'ela hapanim, v'lo b'chol midosayim amalosayim. Okay. But basically what emerges here is that he is referring to not just Echad, which is what he seemed to be talking about to begin with, but the whole Bezin HaGadol, the Shivim of Bezin HaGadol, each one is a Moshe Rabbeinu. But you're not saying that about the Bezin Shel Chav Gimel, right? So there's a tshuva of the Orzarua, right, in the tshuvas from Orzarua, and somebody put in the Sefer, Mosar of Kuk put out, I'm reading now from the footnotes, tshuvos from Yitzhak Orzarua, Rav Meir Bar Baruch, meaning Ram Rutenberg and Orzarua. So there's a tshuva there, Simen Kuf Chav Dalet. Very fascinating tshuva. Al Shadanta Kavachomer Lipsol Balmum LeEdos. Discussing the relationship between Edos Dayanus and Avodas Kohani. Right, very, very obviously three totally different things. Just an interesting discussion, though. Shadanta Kavachomer Lipsol Balmum LeEdos Mikavachomer Mikohen. If a Kohen can't be a Balmum, you shouldn't be able to give Edos. Right? Gazlan, Shim Avad, Lochilel, Pasoleidus, Koshkein Balmum. Because you see that the standards of Edos are higher because of Gazlan. So, should be Huadin, Balmum. Okay. The Tiratsta, Zar Yochiach. Right? A Zar can be an aid, but a Zar cannot do the Avoda. Lo dehirali, dika lemifrach, malazar she'eno balmum, shekein roi lios mi sanhedrin gedola. Okay, zar is not a balmum, or comparable to him, because he can be part of sanhedrin gedola. Tomer be balmum, dechsiv enasu, right? Lecha. Ela nirali miikardina pircha ma gazlan something osuladin tomar bebalmum shakashuladin the miditzuch the misle b'sanhedri gedola mechal the sanhedri gedola sanhedri katana kosher habe kolshke ladin nefashos gzelus v'chavalos. Okay. Anyways, what emerged, this is just an interesting discussion. We would have said, of course, that Eidos Dayanus and Avoda are totally different issues. Obviously, you know, Eidos is about Nemanus and Psule Gavra, you know, who are Begavra Enam Nemanim. But we'll talk about that when we get to the third parak. You know, Dayan is about, you know, other things, and Avoda is about other things. Anyways, but what emerges from here is that, according to this tshuva, it seems like Balei Mum are only a problem in Sanhedrin Gedola and not in Sanhedrin Katana. And the Achronim were bothered by this. Ein Bakor Ledinze, right? Mid Yitzchak Lemisab Sanhedrin Gedola, Mechlal Sanhedrin Katana, Kosher. Even for Nefashos, and of course for Gzeilus and Kabbalas. How do you know there should be a difference between Sanhedrin Gedola and Sanhedrin Gedola? Again, this is against the Rambam. The Rambam clearly says that the stature required, those stature requirements, not the Yichud, but the other ones apply to all Sanhedrin. But if you take the view like Reb Chaim in the Chiddush HaGrach in Rosh Hashanah, right, that no, because the Sanhedrin Gedola, in addition to the function, there's a Minu Yagavra. Right, so that, you know, not being a balmum, you know, is part of that. So again, if we explain that Sanhedrin Gedola, that, you know, both per se, because of the Devarim HaChashuvim and HaGedolim, catapult them, you know, qualitatively to a different level, or because it is overlapping that they have these other functions, you know, therefore we focus on the stature, so then this idea of Balmum emerges. Again, the Rambam doesn't have it in that way at all, but the Rambam does have it with regard to the Chathila. The Rambam doesn't say about a Bezin Shel Chav Gimel, you know, the Chathila, you should have Kohanim and Leviim. So you could say, oh, because there aren't 70, there are 23, and it's not one body, there are zillions of, you know, Sanhedrin. There are answers you could give to it, but it just could be that this is something which is much more fundamental. Okay, so that's to answer the Netziv, but that, obviously I don't really care just to answer the Netziv. The bigger point that I'm trying to make is that once again in this sugya, there emerges a big distinction, you know, between the different batidim. Okay, so we're going to stop here. On Monday, I want to discuss smicha. You know, full throttle. You know, first we'll discuss some of the Gemara, then some of the Aros, you know, in the Rambam, and especially the Chiddush HaSmicha, as quickly as we can, so if you've seen it, it'll be helpful for the interpretations of the Rambam, Mari Beirav, and so on. And then again, Tuesday we start Mishnah.
Master Amen.